When public schools consolidate, the effect on communities can be devastating. And in the United States, rural school consolidation has been going on for more than 100 years. In our ongoing series about one-room schools, producer Nina Ellis takes us this month to Hawaii, to a remote community on the east side of Maui where the state's last one-room school closed this past fall. The school fell victim to a nationwide push to raise test scores and a statewide push to save money.
The decision was an insult to the village of Kaanae. Most of the few hundred people here are native Hawaiian, and they'd been fighting the school closure for the children's sake, they said, and to keep their community alive. The Kaanae school is long, low, and painted green with a tin roof and a deep porch. Sit here on a bench and you can see the ocean.
Morning.
Florence Harold was the last teacher.
So musty.
She still has keys to the classroom. In a cool, dark room, shelves loom above, full of old books. Last year, Florence Harold wanted to replace them, but people complained.
You can't do that.
Why? I said, you know, we should get new ones. Our grandfathers and our grandmothers read these books. You cannot get rid of it.
Florence Harold kept the books, even as she suspected that the school would close last year. She had only three students, none older than third grade. Today, she's come to retrieve some of their artwork, still taped to the wall.
In fact, the last 2 weeks is what I had them do. They drew their memories of the school.
Why did you do that?
Because it represented the last things of the last students or something that was meaningful. Now who's going to come after them?
She doesn't know what she'll do with these tender drawings of palm trees, rainbows, seagulls, and mountains. The Kaanae Peninsula is in the East Maui rainforest. It's connected to the touristy parts of West Maui by a notorious two-lane highway that slices across sheer cliffs and over streams fed by horsetail waterfalls on the slopes of a volcano named Haleakala.
This is one of the very few areas today where you still can live the old Hawaiian style, to live off the land.
Daryl Tau'a lives in Kaanae Village on family land by the ocean. The Tau'a family goes way back in East Maui. Daryl went to school here, and so did his friend, Stephen Ho'okano, who's recently returned to his home community.
The whole east side pretty much related. You know, every Hawaiian, if you ask me on Maui, we all link up to this place. You know, we're all family, supposed to be.
A community festival called a Ho'olauleia, held to raise money for scholarships. Stephen Ho'okano and other young people have come home to Kaanae to grow taro, a root crop that dates back 1,500 years. Taro is symbolic to Hawaiians, and because it's cultivated here on land owned by native people, Kaanae is a link to what's called the old Hawaiian style of life. But people can't live off the land anymore. Most of them drive more than an hour to work in West Maui. There are few jobs here, and all the problems that come with that. Substance abuse, disease, obesity, family dysfunctions. Because the Kaanae school has closed, the school bus comes to the village at 6:15 a.m. to pick up the kids. Earl Medeiros drives them an hour down the highway to the town of Hana.
Most of these kids have missed school due to landslides or trees falling across the road and we cannot pass. So I gotta take them back, yeah. And when it's foggy, it can get pretty bad. You're struggling to see 20 feet in front of you.
Hana School has 300 mostly native Hawaiian students, K through 12. Rick Paul is the principal of Hana School and Kaanae. He's not from East Maui, and this is only his second year. It was his decision to move the Kaanae kids. His office is here in Hana, where he's got big challenges.
We're a school that's in restructuring under No Child Left Behind. And we're restructuring school because of our test results. We haven't made adequate progress for 6 years. And we needed to have as much staffing as we could here. So if I move the children here and the extra position, it would help this school. So part of my decision had to do with bringing Hana schools out of restructuring.
There were other issues too, but ultimately Rick Paul felt like he had no choice.
It's closing down the community. Hello, Mr. Paul. That's why I'm very upset with Mr. Paul.
Janet Rito's grandchildren were among the last students at the school.
He told us he would come back and we'll have another community meeting, but it never happened.
Eileen Lee also had grandchildren at the school. She sees what's happening as cultural genocide, and she's not alone.
These are all Native Hawaiian kids, and you're going to bust them 1 hour to Hana and 1 hour back. You might as well apply for welfare because you're going to kill their spirits, and by the time they're 8th grade, they won't want to go to school. It's so frustrating, you cannot fight City Hall. They're going to kill the town anyway. What makes a town? What makes a little village? We'd have no heart now. The school was a heart where we had our potluck dinners and get together for the kids. Now there's nothing.
It would be nice to say that the closing of the school galvanized the community and moved them to action, but there are fractures here, anger and resignation. There's talk of starting a charter school, but just making a living takes so much time. A handful of K&I folks gather at the school on Sunday morning to worship and look for strength in the same room where the children drew pictures so future generations would remember. For NPR News, I'm Nina Ellis.
More of America's one-room schools are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.